Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, here with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. Thank you for joining us as we wrap up tonight, Being Faithful with Little. Again, that's Being Faithful with Little. We're going to wrap it up tonight, put a bow on it, answer your questions, get your feedback, your scriptures, whatever it is that God has placed on your heart to share with us. We're going to get you on tonight, so please make sure you are prepared to do all of those things. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tullius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I had a great, great day, sir.
Well, good deal, good deal. I want to go ahead and get started with the prayer so we can go ahead and dive into this call so we can actually, you know, get things rolling. So go ahead, Ms. Candy. You open this up with prayer, please.
Father God, we thank you for bringing us through today, Lord, and allowing us to all be here tonight. Lord, we thank you in advance for all that you are going to share with us on this call tonight, Lord. We thank you for every speaker. We thank you for every caller. Lord, we thank you for every question that was sent in to us tonight. And we pray right now, Lord, that you will help all of us to reach a deeper understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, with that being said, I want to go ahead and get our callers on the call, you know, Mr. DJ and Ms. Kiana, because it's such a powerful topic in itself, being faithful a little. And I do believe, man, come on. You know what? Before I get them on the call, Ms. Candy, why don't you share a testimony or two about this topic? I mean, how has it, you know, affected your life this whole week? What happened? Any testimonies?
Well, one thing that brought back up to my remembrance the other day was when I first had recommitted to Christ. It's been about 10, 11 years ago, and I joined this church, and I was so adamant that I wanted to be on the mission team where they go off to Africa and do these missions. And so I was telling everybody I wanted to go to Africa. One of my friends got me a passport, all of this stuff, because I just wanted to go and do the big thing, and that was to go on the mission trip. But what I was told was, you have to do what I perceived was a little thing, which was I had to go into new members class and get all of this foundational stuff. And at first, I was very upset about it because, again, I perceived all of that as something small, and I wanted to go on this big, huge mission trip. So one of the things I learned from that experience, and it was brought back up to me this week, is it's all about our perception, because I was viewing being taught as something little, but truly we all should value good teaching. So I had to come outside of myself and really get to the point to where I understood this is required in order for that. This is going to give you those foundational pieces that you may or may not have, but without this, you're not going to know how to talk to people in ways of how to break the scripture down to them and all of this different stuff. So I was looking at the big thing. I wasn't being faithful at all, but it was like my come to Jesus moment, so to speak, and that was brought back up to me this week.
All right. So with that being said, thank you for sharing that testimony. Let us get Mr. DJ and Ms. Tiana on the line. Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
I'm okay. How about yourself, sir?
Doing wonderful. What about you, Ms. Tiana?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about you?
Doing wonderful. So what we want to do is, Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you and then go to you, Ms. Tiana. You want to share a testimony about this topic, being faithful a little, Mr. DJ?
I live by that daily, and I'm often reminded of that, but it didn't hit me until I left high school and came down to Louisiana to go to college. God does not need a big grandstand or fanfare. He came here in the lowest form that you can think of. He wasn't even in no hospital, you know, born in a manger. And he does so much with so little, more than you can even think of with what we would perceive as to be a lot of numbers. Most of us see things big. Just to give you an example, in the band world, a lot of people think the biggest band is the best band. And that's not true at all. That's definitely not true. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. And that's just like my grandfather used to say, empty wagon makes a lot of noise. You know, you got some people who can skip on oceans and yell up something. You just be like, oh, I know he's saved. Oh, I know he's saved. Oh, I know she's saved. She go to church, her and God tight. And that could be as far from the truth, you know, or this person got this church with, and I'm not trying to talk about nobody, but you could say these people got 80,000 members at their church. And then this church only has 40 or 20. It's the same God. So what I'm saying is I like the message. It was very, very powerful. It hit home and basically teaches us that, you know, God doesn't need a big audience or show or fanfare. You know, stay faithful to him and watch what he do. We can't even conceive his math. God's math is not like man's math at all. So.
Okay. Good deal, good deal. What about you, Ms. Tiana?
Testimony in this space is just over my entire life, I've lived in the presumption, not me in the presumption. My family has set a expectation of me that is something that I didn't even realize that I was for many years living up to. And why I'm bringing this up is because they had this big idea of what I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to be. And when I transitioned from the corporate world to transition to education, there was this, why are you doing that? Versus a great, that's exactly what, you know, you were called to do. And I bring it up not from a career standpoint, but from a lifestyle standpoint. Right, God calls us to do what he intends for us, to live out the purpose he has for our lives, no matter what that form comes with. And many a times I've looked at it as I've decreased from this, I no longer have that. But it's not about that, because he's given allowed for me to understand that those things aren't necessary. The things that are necessary are the characteristics in which he expects us to live. So that's in love, that's in joy, that's in peace, that's in kindness, etc. And the little bit of those that we show day in and day out, we can see how grand the life that he gives us truly is. If we're focused on the things of the world, the big things, then we will never actually see how great the little really is, what we as in the world perceive as little. And that's the big thing that really came out for me this week. Be faithful in what God believes is great, but we believe is little.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what it is, being faithful with little. Okay, being faithful with little, and such a powerful topic. Even the testimonies that, you know, so many of us can share, one of the ones I want to share even with this topic this past week, you're talking about being faithful to God with the little that our natural, earthly, you know, finite eyes can perceive. Being faithful with little. Have y'all ever encountered something like this? You know, how you may be disruptive or someone was disruptive towards you, let's say that. And it's been, and this is real life stuff now, testimony time. And you know how somebody may curse you out, Mr. DJ, and then they come back, well, I apologize if, you know, I hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Word if should be used. The reason I say that is because even in sharing a testimony, you got to understand being faithful with little requires faith. Everybody know what faith is by definition? What's the definition of faith, Ms. Tiana, you know?
Things hoped for. Evidence of things hoped for.
What about you, Mr. DJ?
Evidence of things hoped for but not seen.
That are not seen. There we go. faith, belief, trust, faith. Okay? That's what it is. So, when you're talking about being faithful with little, you know, and you encounter things in and through our life, you know, it's the thing. You can only be faithful through your lens, not through somebody else's. In other words, a lot of times when we have share our testimonies or have our testimonial experiences, we have to understand that our faith is not, you know, contingent upon what somebody else doesn't have or does have. In other words, faith to the natural person and the spiritual person is not contagious. Faith is contagious to two spiritual people.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Let me break that down slowly because this is our learning center. In other words, because a DJ have faith and I say I believe in God and I really do believe in God, not according to man's standard, the same faith that DJ that I see in DJ to spurn something in me to move.
Mm-hmm.
It's always active. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Testimony that I'm sharing is this. You will encounter more so than not when you are riding in God, you know, these type of encounters. Because Jesus did it all the time. They didn't even know who Jesus was. So Jesus had to be faithful with little around him. I'm talking about his 12 disciples who we were put on a pedestal. God had to always check them. They had the hardest of the heads. They was the ones, as a matter of fact, Mr. DJ. Now, look, y'all want to look at the Bible right quick? Look what the Bible said. Then we're going to start to get to our questions. Look at the testimony. The Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen me. You are more blessed when you haven't seen God, yet you believe. In other words, we put the 12 disciples on a pedestal, but God said they needed me more than y'all need me.
That's right.
Okay.
Did y'all catch that?
Yes, sir.
Did y'all catch that part of the scripture? He said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That means the ones who closest to DJ need more God than the ones who further away from him. Ah, y'all don't catch
yes,
it.
Indeed. Yes,
y'all
indeed.
Y'all don't get it.
Yes, indeed.
Don't get it. Out of blowing, they know what time it is. Let me say this again. The 12 disciples needed more of God than you and I. They had to physically walk with Jesus to believe. Do you have to walk with him physically to see? Well, you can't walk with him physically. He's not here physically. The Holy Spirit is here. In other words, hold on, let me take it a step further. Here's the testimony in this. Here's a testimony. Huh? People have to see the work of God to believe that he's operating in your life. Or, Miss Candy, watch this. Or should I say DJ is a man of God and Miss Tiana say no he's not because look at what he do. I say he is because I don't have to see God's work to know who he is.
Come on.
See, when you're faithful with little, that means I don't need much evidence. I just know who God pointed out and said that's him.
That's right.
All right.
Huh? Testimony time, people. Being faithful with little. I've had to be faithful with little because, you know, myself included, knuckleheads, but even knuckleheads around me, why people don't come clean until it slapped them right in the face that I was wrong. Y'all think I'm lying? Why y'all think that the world is in shambles now? Testimony time. We have to be faithful with little. People just want the world to come clean and say, hey, you know, Donald Trump, you're wrong. Hey, this health care bill that you're trying to pass is not right. Listen, people will defend what they defend to the end. They don't see righteous. They only see right in their eyes.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? Y'all still not comprehending yet?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? people who defend police officers off jump. People say, well, I defend and support police officers. Well, why then do you get mad when black people say I support black people? You said you defend the police officers at any, that means it don't matter what they do, I defend them. I don't defend them. I defend what is righteous.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the best of the best police officers don't carry guns. They don't have to kill nobody. Well, Mr. Carr, they needed to protect themselves. Well, what do the citizens need to protect themselves? Answer that question.
Come on.
Because what's good for the goose is good for the gather. I'm just telling testimony time here, people. When you have to be faithful to God with little, people don't have understanding. They have little understanding. In other words, they don't see wrongdoing. We got to be faithful to God in a world full of chaos. And you don't have to look far. You can look in your inner circle. You got to be very careful that you remain faithful to God, because if not, you will become a part of your inner circle. In other words, Jesus could have became like the 12, but see, he remained faithful to God. Therefore, the 12 had a chance to be faithful like him to God.
Amen.
Don't think that you're crazy because people don't understand, huh? What you are talking about. Don't think that, people. Being faithful, trust me, a requirement, a prereq for being faithful, a prereq for it, Miss Tiana. You will surrender your character. You will surrender your name. In other words, listen to this, people.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me and hear me good on this one now. Being faithful with little. Okay? You will be persecuted for God's name's sake. Don't think that the persecution is just going to come from the world. You'll be persecuted from that which sees you most.
Yeah.
I'm talking about with the snares and the frowns and I don't agree with you. How can you not agree with something that is professing the word of God if it be the word of God? So if you don't agree with the word of God because you're saying you don't agree with them, you're really not agreeing with God if they're professing the truth.
Okay.
But you, my friend, still have to remain faithful with the little that you have, because you would easily say, God, why did you put these scoundrels around me? But God said, hold on, you was a scoundrel too. So you have to be faithful with what God has given you. Don't lose your vision. Don't lose your course. Do not lose your faith. By acronym, faith by acronym, faith. Faith by acronym, an acronym. Faith, the F, the A, the I, the T, the H. It's finding an image through him. Faith, finding an image through him. In other words, stop looking at it your way and start finding an image through God. Faith.
Amen. Amen.
Finding an image through God. In other words, don't think how you want to think. Look at it. Find an image through God. In other words, how does God view the people around you? And stick to that, because if you keep on viewing them how they want to, how they push you, how you want to view them, you're going to look at them as heathens. But find an image of them through God so that you don't step on them. Because Jesus found an image through God, and that's why he still got on the cross for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Testimony time. Good. All right. So with that being said, y'all ready for these questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to start with you first, Miss Tiana. Miss Candy, you want to start with your email question?
Yes, sir. The question says, I faithfully give my tithes and offering, but I have poor spending habits outside of that. Please give me some tips on how to be faithful with all of what's given to me.
All right. Well, God tells us that we are to be good stewards over everything that he gives us. He's the one who has provided us, provided us with the means to even making an income. It's only through him that that's even possible. So any monies that we get, yes, he asks for us to start with the first 10% to him, but it doesn't stop there. We have to be diligent in how we are spending the funds that he has gifted us with. So truthfully, it's taking it to God and say, how exactly do you want me to spend this? How exactly do you want me to use this for your good? Because we would, if you're having trouble spending on things, you're probably spending on things that obviously you don't need. And if they're not things that you don't need, things that he hasn't called for you to have, then you are not being a steward as he's calling you to do so. So take it to him and allow him to guide you into how you're spending your funds.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to get that same question to you. So do you mind repeating that question so Mr. DJ can answer, please?
I faithfully give my tithes and offering, but I have poor spending habits outside of that. Please give me some tips on how to be faithful with all of what's given to me.
Well, first thing I'm going to say, in my experience in business, people that are faithful at paying their tithes are actually good with money, with spending money. They don't just spend money frivolously. If that actually is the case, then what you need to do is the same discipline that you use to give God his, then you need to set aside a budget for yourself. If you know he gets his off the top, then what you need to do is actually put in so much for food, so much for gas and your other expenditures, bills and all of that good stuff. Not necessarily in that order, but it's good. But in my experience of people that are faithful at tithes, if you're faithful to God with those tithes, you shouldn't have any problems. So that's why I said it's kind of like a contradiction right there, you know, but that's just me. You know, that's the only thing I'm saying. So.
That's a good analogy, Mr. DJ. I never looked at it like that, but I see where you're coming from, because I would have to strongly agree with what you said, because typically if you're faithful in paying God first, I'm just letting that sit out there for a second.
Correct.
If you're in paying God first, just as quick as you do your direct deposit, go ahead and also have where you pay God his 10%. When you're faithful in paying God, that means, Mr. DJ, as you just expressed, that means you have this, you're coherent. Your cognition, you know what time it is. That means you're aware of what you've made, how much you go to God. Now it says tithes, then it says something else, Mr. DJ, tithes and what else? Oh, an offering. Oh, so y'all, believe it or not, it's not just about your 10%. Now it's the offering. And God said, give according to what's in your heart. Oh, Lord, that's a whole other message. The tithe is the 10%. The offering is what's in your heart.
That's right.
Y'all knew that?
Yes, sir.
I know everybody ain't know that. Don't act like that. It's okay if you didn't. We learn. This is why this is a learning center. So when you typically pay your tithes and offering, typically, you know what time it is. That means if you make $1,000 every 2 weeks, you give $100 towards God. You make $1,000, they take out their taxes, whatever you bring to your house, boom. That is what you tithe, boom. People want to be complicated. Well, I thought if you made how much you made, your total, and then, you know, no. What you bring in your house, tie it off to 10%. Tie it off to 10% and then give your offer. All right? Here's the thing. So now all of a sudden you're down to about $750. You already know. You ain't just going to be spending frivolously, frugally. You're not going to do that. Because you are accounted for that. And if you should happen to slip off into doing so, right? If we should happen to do just that, what we call it when we go out there and spend at the stores? What we call it? What therapy we call it?
Retail.
Uh-huh. See, when we do that retail therapy, what happens is typically one can give it to the other. It's one or the other. If you have big spending habits, typically you don't tithe as efficiently. If you tithe really good, typically you're a good steward over your money, because if you tithe, that means I know I'm in God. So in other words, I mean, I know I'm going by his standard. Just because you tithe don't mean you're in God. But you see, you're trying to get it right, at the very least.
Right.
So that typically slows everything else down.
Mr. Carr, can I ask you a question right quick?
Of course.
Are we truly tithing if you give your money to your church or what have you, and then turn around and ask for a tax receipt?
Sir, I don't believe in the hype. No, sir. I don't agree with that, and I'm telling everybody on this phone, that is not of God.
Come on.
That is not of God. I don't care what practice and who practices that. You know, somebody got to be strong and tell the truth. That is not of God. How can I give DJ $100 and then turn right back around and tax him on it?
Come on.
Much like you giving your clothes to the Salvation Army or someone, a family who's in need, somebody on the street or somebody that you know who's in need, and saying you gave them 20 pairs of items, T-shirts and pants and shoes, but then you're going to come back and tax it, meaning I'm going to get two back just so I can go get something new. That was not genuine giving. Because when you genuinely give, you give it and leave it alone.
All right.
Oh, but somebody got the world's mathematical system good, and they try and enforce their foolery, Mr. DJ, in God. I bet you won't get no 10% back. You can't get no tax receipt in heaven. And he said, let it be done on earth as it's done in heaven.
Technically, Mr. Carr, the government takes more than 10%.
Right.
So I was told to give 10% of your gross, not your net.
You're supposed to get that.
So the government take more. How
does
government get more than God?
It's well. But remember, he said the first shall be last. And you know the rest.
That's right.
All right. Y'all got it? Good. Here we go. Let's get to our second email question. Let me see what we have over here. Do we have any callers, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Carr, before we
go to the question, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Something really just came to mind. Just to finish with that last question, and it brings me back to Joseph and how the Egyptians saved up in the good times, right? If we have money that we're able to spend to spend with the retail therapy, then we have enough money to save up, because when the time comes, famine hits. Then what are you going to have? You're going to be calling on God and asking, why me? But he gave you enough, but you chose to use it incorrectly. So that's just, you want something to do, save it up in the storehouse so that you're prepared for no matter what storm comes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Y'all got it? Everybody good?
Yes,
everybody
sir.
Good. I got this email question. Well, it's text message, not email. Wanted to know the difference between the net and the gross real quickly, because we want to stay on topic, okay? But real quickly, what Mr. DJ was saying was the gross income versus the net income. Your gross income is what, for instance, you get 40 hours a week and you make $28 an hour. You do the math on that. That's your gross. Your net income is after they take all that stuff out. FICA, Uncle Sam, your net is like casting a net. Your net is what you bring in to your house. I mean, serious. That makes it simple. Net income is what you cast out there. You actually bring into your house. That's what you capture in your net. That means so you actually pay your tithe off your net. Is what you bring in. Some people would disagree. Don't. Hey, pay it how you want to pay it. It's what you bring into your house. Everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And if we're wrong, God knows he knows the purity of our heart. See, a lot of times we try and play the game with God anyway. Which one, which one, which one? Shoot, if you don't know, just go ahead and do it off the growth. That's fine, too. Okay? All right. Good deal. What we got? What caller we have?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening, everyone. So the question that I have is, it states, I was laid off from work 3 months ago and still have not found employment. How can I honor God in my giving without any income, but instead with the resources I do have?
Okay, Mr. DJ.
First of all, if you don't have any income, you still have yourself. You still have your obedience, your discipline. There could be a kind deed. You can't, I don't know if you heard the expression, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. I mean, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. You know, if you genuinely don't have it. But you do have some things that you can offer to Christ. It might be your voice. You know, if you're just singing, singing praises. Or it may be prayers. Or just some kind acts of deeds. Anything that you can offer back up to him as a living sacrifice. That's who you are. You know, our job is to worship him. So, you know, don't get caught up in the money. Because there are plenty of people who do have the money and give faithfully, but they don't give themselves. They can just simply write a check or call in a donation, and that's not what he's looking for. So don't get caught up in that.
Okay. Can you repeat that question for Ms. Tiana, please?
Yes, sir. Okay, it states, I was laid off from work 3 months ago and still have not found employment. How can I honor God in my giving without any income, but instead with the resources I do have?
Yeah. So it's absolutely. If your resources includes anything that you saved up, then don't stop giving to him. It is there. And if you continue to give to him, he'll find he'll always make a way once you're faithful in it. At the same time, as Mr. DJ was sharing, the offering, which is the other side of things, the offering is not, it's financial. The offering is your time, your resources, et cetera. So give with a purpose. Give with love first. That's the first gift he's given all of us. Give with that and just continue to give what he has given you back to him.
Okay.
Also, Mr. Carr?
Yes,
also, ma'am. Mr. Carr, I don't, you know me, I don't know the scripture, but the widow's mite, you know, she only had a penny. And that offering was worth more than, you know, like I said, like a rich man that could give, you know, you could give $1 million or $1,000. But this lady only had a penny, but she gave it to him. And that was a sacrifice, and that meant more to him than any other amount of money that anybody else gave, because that's all she had. So it was worth more. And you know, he appreciated that. You know, that little penny meant more to him than any other amount of money that, you know, that you could, than the rich folks gave.
Right.
So I'm just saying, you know, you know, for what it's worth, you're the sacrifice. You're the greatest gift.
Okay. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the next email question. I'll go with this one. It says, does God always provide a small blessing initially because he wants our faith to grow bigger in him? I'll start with you first, Ms. Tiana.
Well, that first, I wouldn't call it small, but that first blessing was your first breath. He's given us life. So if I'm looking at anything, that right there is by itself that blessing for you to follow him. He doesn't have to give anything else. It's the fact that you're even here is gift enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm going to go to you with the same question. Okay. It says, does God always provide a small blessing initially because he wants our faith to grow bigger in him?
I can't say a small blessing. For one, any blessing from God is huge to me. So, you know, I don't know what small blessing. I guess that's defined by, I guess the worldly vision. But anything God gives you to me is huge. You know, he doesn't have to give you something. I guess that man would deem big, but not realize it. As Tiana stated, you know, he gave you life. I mean, you know, just the fact that you woke up, you know, or if you can walk by yourself, dress by yourself, eat, those little things we take for granted, you know. So it's the small things that really count, those small things that we overlook. That's what's huge. And you don't realize it until it's taken away from you. You know, that's why I count my blessings every day. You know, for those of you all that know me, I'm visually impaired. But, you know, I can think of a million things that I did when I did have two good eyes. You know, but now the Lord has blessed me to have one, but have sharpened other skills. And guess what? I've surpassed those things with two eyes. I do things now. My vision is better in my eyesight spiritually. And brought me closer to God by him doing that, that allowed me to stop and appreciate far more things. I'm going to see, you know, my child graduating, things that you just really, really take for granted. You know, so I don't consider the blessings that he gives us to be small. I appreciate every last one of them.
Okay. So the question was, does God always provide a small blessing initially? Because he wants our faith to grow big in him. So, Mr. DJ and Ms. Tiana, let's do a little enactment. Y'all watch this. So, Ms. Tiana, okay, I am the boyfriend. Mr. DJ is the granddaddy.
Okay.
Y'all follow me?
Okay.
Well, I am the ex-boyfriend now. Mr. DJ still the granddaddy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, y'all.
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. DJ being a granddaddy, let's say Mr. DJ spends 1 hour every other month with them three kids Tiana and I have. I'm the ex-boyfriend.
Correct.
I spend, y'all hear this now, I spend per month about 8 hours. So in a period of 3 months, he spent one. I spend in a period of 3 months, three times eight is 24. In that time that I spend, I done bought shoes, clothes, all that stuff. Granddaddy only went to McDonald's.
That's it.
Perception, Miss Tiana. Now, you're bitter towards me. Who did more and who did little in your rage? Talk to me.
So, Tiana says, the ex-boyfriend
Lord,
did more.
Okay. Pause it. Don't worry about it. It's on Miss Candy. Miss Step In. Miss Tiana went on a vacation. Chose you replaced her. She catfished me. All right. So Miss Candy was the real one. She just posed as Tiana's picture. So Miss Candy is the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend scenario. Okay? So Miss Candy, in your bit of rage, although I've done all these things, and granddaddy, you're still sentimental. That's your grandfather, this, that, another. Who's done the most in your eyes?
The grandfather.
Y'all know it to be true.
That's right.
That's going on here today in America now. In other words, perception. Now, naturally, we can say that the ex-boyfriend did the most. But you got to understand, when we're at odds with God, y'all hear me? When we're at odds with God, we be at odds with God and we don't even know it. When we're at odds with God, anything that God does seems minute and small because he could have done more. If y'all not catching it, anything that your ex, your baby daddy, your baby mama do, she or he could have did more.
Got it.
That's right.
Your granddaddy don't even spend the time, but you say, your granddaddy love you. It's your daddy that's the problem. Wow. That's because you're at odds with that person. Huh? Yeah, this is a going question. Watch this. I like to talk about real life stuff, Mr. DJ. You know how we get down. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this has been an ongoing thing. Women, y'all can jump in too, because this ain't no battle of the sexes. Let me show y'all. The question was posed, and I thought it was a legit question, on social media. If you have a man who's paying child support, see, I like to talk about the elephant in the room, huh? Being faithful with little. If you have a man who's paying child support, if his child needs more, if his child needs some extra shoes, does the mother have the right, although he's paid child support, to ask him for the shoes that their child needs? Oh, boy, it was a mixed bag. Some people say, yeah, some people say, no. Y'all follow me?
That's right.
Follow me? Don't matter what God do. No matter what God do. Boy, y'all got to look at this marriage, this relationship. See, no matter what God do, when we at odds with God, him supplying support ain't enough.
All right.
Read in between the lines. You know doggone well, if he child support, meaning you went through the system, let's keep it there. That means I'm going to give what I'm supposed to give. Uh-oh. But then we say, well, if you love your child, you'll give more. But I thought you wanted to go their route. Hello, somebody.
You sure? Mm-hmm.
So now, what the system said I'm required to give isn't enough to satisfy you. Is it the money that I'm giving, or is it just because you're bitter with me that you see my giving as being little? In other words, you're trying to pull more out of me. In other words, this is what we do to God. So now our perception is that even your initial giving, God, there was small when I was yet a baby. But see, babies, listen to this, cannot decipher what's big and what's small. In other words, when we're at odds with God, we view something big as something minute. Because we just want him to give us everything that we want.
Okay.
There's not anything possible. When God does, he does big, so big. See, you know, like they say when Paul Pierce won the NBA championship back in 09, 05, he forgot his name. They called him Paul Pierce, then they called him the truth. He forgot his name for the whole summer, he said, because people called him champ so much. See, the thing about it is, when you see God as God, huh? You don't see small attached with his name.
Exactly.
All right.
That's right.
So anything that God gives is big. Nothing is small. You can't say, if you say God gives something initially small, that's because you wasn't fixated on him and you was at odds with him.
Amen.
Come on.
Huh? The fact that you can blink your eyes is big. Huh? But when we don't value something, we don't appreciate it. Therefore, when we don't value it, we don't know it. So we will view it differently. All right, here we go. Next call. We had another caller?
No, sir.
We didn't have another email question?
No, sir.
Nobody? Anybody? Somebody? Scream? Y'all say that came from a song? Now, everybody quiet tonight, huh?
So we have a hand raised.
Okay, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
1 second, sir. Go ahead, caller.
I'm so sorry. I was speaking. Line was muted. Okay, I have another question. And the question is, okay, it states, I know that what God gives, he can take away in the blink of an eye. However, my sister, who is going through a divorce and also recently lost her job, is having a difficult time understanding and trusting God in this season of her life. In what ways can I help her to focus on her blessings versus all that she has lost when she tells me that I don't understand because I'm not in her shoes?
All right. Mr. DJ?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes, sir. So it states, I know that what God gives, he can take away in the blink of an eye. However, my sister, who is going through a divorce and also recently lost her job, is having a difficult time understanding and trusting God in this season of her life. In what ways can I help her to focus on her blessings versus all that she has lost when she tells me that I don't understand because I'm not in her shoes?
Okay. The first thing is to not dwell and focus on what was lost, but rather what she has left. Sometimes things happen for a reason. And make sure you drive the point home that, you know, if the door is closed, that don't mean the window is closed too. Okay? When God does things, he does them according to his will. So if he does close that door, then there's a window that's going to be open. And what she has to do is hold fast, be patient, and that's when she needs to really, really check her faith. Okay? And I'm just using this for example. You didn't tell me what the job was or what happened. If a woman is in the world, and we all know what I mean when I say of the world, okay, and she's married to a worldly man, her divorcing that worldly man and not having that job of being in the world, that's a blessing. That's actually a blessing. She's on her way. She's on her way to getting where she needs to be. So instead of counting worldly things and weeping on the loss of worldly things, she needs to be ready to receive more spiritual blessings and things that God will do to put her on the path of where he wants her to be. And I guarantee you it's going to be far greater than she ever imagined. So I would encourage her by helping her to take inventory of her resources, of things that she still has, and of her blessings, you know, and then don't let her go. Be a friend. Be there for her, you know, and like I said, stay encouraged, you know, keep her in prayer as well as be right there with her, you know.
Okay. Miss Tiana? Mm-hmm.
Yep. One of the first things that I would share with her is just ask the question when you're driving around, when you're driving down the road and there's something happening, there's an accident, there's construction, what happens? Well, there's typically a detour that's put in place to get you back in the right direction. When these things happen in our lives, divorce, job loss, whatever it is, there's something going on that God's putting a stop to and is saying, all right, we got to get back on track. So even though it may in the world, right, feel like it's so wrong, why is this happening to me? The reality is there's something on the other side of that detour that's going to set things right. That's where that faith comes into place in knowing that she's not getting anything that she can't handle. First of all, if this is a divorce, there's a few things going on there. One, was it something that God didn't put together? Two, did they allow the world to separate what God put together? Number, and when it comes with the job, listen, we can go to interviews. We can do a whole bunch of things toward getting a job. We can do all the right things on a job. But sometimes we're just not supposed to be in that place. And it's a good thing when that door closes. We just have to be open to receiving what's next for us, no matter what it is. And that's everything in life. So focus on the reality of when God sets a detour in action, he's trying to get us back on the right road and have her start focusing on that. I hope that helps.
Okay. Good deal.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, good deal. All right, here we go. One more email question. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana. And the question states, does having plenty of possessions make me vulnerable in my faithfulness towards God?
If you put those things before God, absolutely. If they're just a matter of those things that are there, it shouldn't. But sadly, we get connected to things instead of focusing on our relationship. We'll be upset when the internet goes out or the TV stops working
or the car broken down. So we allow those things to truly take over our lives. So it puts us in a place where we're not allowing God to be number one. But if you're strong in your faith and those are things God gave to you to do his work, then hopefully you're using them for his good. If you're not, then you've already allowed them to take over. I hope that helps.
And Mr. DJ, I'm going to repeat that same question for you. Does having plenty of possessions in my faithfulness toward God?
I say yes, it does. You have to be careful because that can be a distraction. Oftentimes we get spoiled. We end up treating God like that spare tire. You know, we don't take him out until we need it. You know, so when you keep getting a lot of different possessions, worldly possessions, for one, you can't take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, it's going to cripple you a little bit because you're going to continue to get used to it. And even in churches nowadays, we, you know, man, I'm not going to that church. They don't have an organ. Or they don't have drums. Or they don't have no air conditioning. I can't come and pray in there. They don't have no air conditioning. You know, okay, well, what was done before the air conditioning was invented? I mean, I'm just saying, little things. I'm not saying that they're not nice. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy worldly things, but I'm just letting you know it does cripple us. You know, in certain ways we get spoiled and complacent. So every now and then that AC needs to go out. You know, or every now and then your piano player might get sick and you might have to clap and use your own, make your own music and your own rhythm. You know, you may not be able to preach from the pulpit and use a microphone and a nice sound system. You know, you might just have to actually use your voice that God blessed you. I'm just saying, you know, little things happen for a reason. You know, sometimes we need a little tap, just a little reminder, be like, hey, you know. So, yeah, I think it will cripple us. I'm just saying definitively, yes.
And I hear what Mr. DJ said, and I agree with much of what he said, and I know where he's going with it. I agree with Ms. Tiana, too, although they had, you know, varying views on it, same direction. Let me explain what DJ was saying. Mr. DJ was saying was absolutely not in the sense of your perspective. If you allow, because you heard him say, if they start to take control over.
Mm-hmm.
So does having plenty of possessions make me vulnerable in my faithfulness toward God? Absolutely not. It doesn't make you vulnerable, but I understand what Mr. DJ was saying, because I heard him say if. That's the operative word, if they start to take over. In other words, when they start to dominate and be the God before God, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You can have possessions as long as possessions don't have you. Here's the thing. So let me correct that with what I just said. Not correct it in what I said. Let me explain it better. It's okay to have possessions as long as you do what God tells you to do with them.
Amen.
Remember that rich young ruler had it all going on? There wasn't a problem. But when God told him to do something with it, to give it to the poor, sell everything and give the money to the poor, he said no. And that was the problem.
Yep.
Yep.
He wasn't in sin before then, y'all. He had it going on. As a matter of fact, God used that as a teaching moment. So you can have all the houses, all the cars, but when God say move and help and do what he needs, hey, because it's not for you in the first place.
That's right.
We are not wise enough to have things and do what's right with them. Nobody is. Nobody, people. I'm telling you, nobody. Because, see, just like possessions, there can be power. This is why racism exists. This is why sexism exists. This is why you have male chauvinists. This is why you have female feminists. This stuff exists. This is why black and white, you know, you have problems with that. Because somebody says, I don't want to relinquish what I have. And I have control over you, supremacy over you. Therefore, I don't want to let it go. And I don't want you to be equal to me. And that, my friend, is a problem. So do you have possessions? Power included. Privilege included, make you vulnerable in your faithfulness toward God? Absolutely not. It makes you vulnerable when you start disobeying God, because remember the Bible said that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, being faithful with little, let me share this with everybody. Somebody needs to hear this. Because you may not have what somebody else has. Might be, you know, you may not be as educated. You might not be as beautiful. You might not be as handsome. You might not be as strong, or your intellect may not be as sharp. You might not be in the best living situation. You may not have the best, you know, the multiple children. You can't have children. You know, you can't make children. Just because you have less, so it seems to be, than they have. Remember, you can do all things through Christ. Here's the problem. God sometimes will tie one hand behind your back. In other words, close one eye, Mr. DJ, so that you can now solely depend on him. He wants you to be faithful with little. See, faithful has everything to do with you seeing it through God's image. In other words, faithfulness has everything to do with you solely relying on him.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Force our hand to see how faithful we are. In other words, God will start to take away some things from us to see if we will rely on him or not. See, if you're faithful when you have, we should be faithful when we don't have. And when we're faithful when we don't have, we should be faithful when we have.
That's right.
So we should always rely on God no matter what. The thing is, we cannot take these messages and let them impede our mental psyche for the hour that we're on the phone and then forget about them throughout our day. The Bible says, hide the word in your heart. When you hide the word in your heart, that means you go over it and you coerce it. You go over it and you talk to God about it, and God, give me clarity. And you go over it time and time again, much like the new song by Bruno Mars. If you know the hook for that, why you don't know the hook for faithfulness? I got it. What is that?
Y'all
know the song.
That's what I like.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No.
You deserve it all? Strawberry. Y'all know the song. Don't act like you don't know it. But what I'm saying is, you coerce it enough to where you can memorize it.
That's right.
This is how the word of God is. When you're faithful with little, you want to make God smile, be faithful when the world thinks you have. Be faithful when you think you have little. But as long as you're faithful to God, you'll never perceive yourself as having little. You have just what you
Amen.
Need to have.
That's right.
You have just what you need to have. You have just what you need to have. Because like who there was, Gideon with the army? As a matter of fact, God said, cut it down. Cut it
That's
down.
Right.
He was so faithful, he said, I'm willing to cut it down. I'm willing to, the world may see that I'm losing. I'm willing to cut it down. Being faithful, look at Noah. See, we applaud Noah, but would you have been a Noah when it comes to doing building an ark? See, we talk about the ark, but what about the ark of life? What about you building an ark of life so that you can float in heaven's streams? In other words, you're doing stuff that people hadn't seen before. Are you willing to be ostracized, persecuted, ridiculed because of your lifestyle, or do you prefer to blend in? See, Noah didn't care about blending in because Noah knew something was coming. Lord,
come on.
That's right,
amen.
That's right.
Huh? Here's the thing. When you faithful to God, ain't no surprise.
That's right.
So you willing to cut down? That means if you got to cut down some of your clothes, cut down some of your contacts, cut down some of your confusion in the life, then maybe even that you're starting. Mr. Carter, not exempt from that. If he's starting, he need to cut it down too. See, when you're faithful with little, that means, God, give me the bare basics and let me show how faithful I am to you. See, because a lot of times we say, God, I need the church building. I need the pastor. I need. See, we put it out there before we start. You know, God, I'm telling you, our spirituality is just like fitness. We put on the trainer. I ain't coming to the gym. Let me get in shape first. And we tell God the same thing. First of all, God say, come as you are, just like the trainer saying. Because if you can get in shape, you don't need the trainer. But you had how many years where you've been out of shape? Tell the truth.
Right. All right.
Right?
That's right.
A whole bunch. You stopped exercising at the age of 23. Huh? You 42. What you talking about? Y'all follow me?
Yes,
so,
sir.
Faithful with little, what we say is, God, take me as I am. I don't have to get it right before men. I want to be right in you. Okay? And that's what it's about. So, DJ, you want to go ahead and pray for us, please?
Before we do that, I always wanted to mention, too, I haven't heard the mention of David.
Uh-oh, David, what you got?
You know, David's job was to carry the cheese. He wasn't no soldiers to fight. He wasn't that wasn't on his mind, nowhere. The Goliath's sword, in the Bible, it says that Goliath's sword was bigger than David.
Uh-huh.
Goliath was a mammoth human being. I mean, he was huge, you know,
uh-huh.
And but nobody fooled with him. And, you know, they even laughed, if you will, at David, because hey, what you going to do? He don't do nothing to carry the cheese. He's not a fighter. And here comes Goliath with this big sword, and David only had stones. He only had a slingshot and stones. But I tell you what, when God gets in that power, those weren't ordinary stones no more. See, with that little guy, that doggone stone knocked David on his tail and took him out. So, like you said, you know, faithful with little. You know, there's power. He can do much power, farther than what we can conceive. With just a little faithful, you know, just a little. And he wasn't.
Y'all, David. Just so y'all know, that same David, there wasn't two different Davids. Huh, Miss Candy, that's the same David, huh? The one who slept with Bathsheba, the one who was anointed as a little boy to be king. I just need everybody to know that because that's the same David. Okay, he was anointed to be king, yet he slayed Goliath. In other words, how was he anointed? See, we get anointed, oh boy. When we get anointed, oh boy. When we get anointed, we say, oh, everybody else is peons, y'all peasants beneath me. I don't have to work. David went from the field to the palace. But see, here's the part. Y'all don't know the all the through part. That was the same David who was anointed as a child to be king. Now he has to stand before Goliath. You know what nothing was going to happen to him because he had been anointed to be somebody.
That's right.
Amen.
Y'all better hear that. And he had little. Oh, David, everybody else was scared. David said, give me the slingshot and the pepper. They said, you crazy man. David went out there bold.
Yep.
It wasn't a slingshot. Oh, no. It wasn't even a pebble. Oh, no. Y'all may think that the pebble took Goliath out. Oh, no. It was obedience that took Goliath out. Learn the word. Learn the word. It wasn't a pebble. It was the obedience that took him out. In other words, all you got to do it. The battle's already won, David. Now, because they are not faithful followers, they're going to think it's the pebble.
Come on.
It was a pebble. Uh-huh. Come on. Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie.
Huh?
It wasn't a pebble. It was the obedience.
That's right.
You got to be willing to risk it all, being faithful with little. God, come on, Mr. DJ, you just opened a can of worms. We're about to close up. God, y'all see it all the time. Well, kids, when they make it big in the sports industry, they get back to their grandparents who raised them or their parents, and they say, you believed in me when nobody else didn't believe in me, when I ain't had nothing, when I ain't had no shoes. You believed in me.
Right.
It means somebody believed in something that other people saw as little. Now God is saying, will you return the favor to me? Because I believed in you because I created you. When nobody else believed in you, Tiana, Candy, DJ, Sharon, I believed in y'all when nobody else believed in y'all. Will you do the same for me? Will you believe in me when nobody else believed in me?
Come on.
Hello.
That's right.
Come on.
You praise and you thank God and you glorify God because he believed you and nobody else when it manifests. What more would he not do for you when it manifests, Lord?
Yeah.
Your love manifests, you being consistent with little. You believing in God. The Bible Bible said in the last days, the love of men will wax cold. In other words, it's going to be little love, but it don't matter. As long as I got a little bit, I'm going to be the one who carried it. I still believe in it.
Yes.
When nobody else believes in me. Now, we can celebrate God, and we say, God, thank you for believing in me. Wow, I wonder if God ever say thank you to us. You know when you're going to open your eyes? Okay, you know what time it is.
That's right.
All right, Mr. DJ, being faithful little, what we got?
Dear Heavenly Father, to come to you as humbly as we know how, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. And keep us on this path, Father, this path that leads to you. You said, for if we lift you up, you will draw all men. And that's all we want to do is lift you up, Father. Help us to grow and strengthen our knowledge in the Word. Help something said maybe manifested from someone else, or to help bring someone else closer to you. We pray for your grace and your mercy. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
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 Y'all have a great night. Make sure y'all catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. Okay? And make sure you bring a caller to a guest with you. All right? Let them call in on your account. All right? Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.